Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome to Homeschool Companion. I'm Rose.
I'm Kathy.
And we have a delightful story for you today called Grace at the Cliff Face by Holly Hughes Barn, illustrated by Terry Cruz. And we discovered this in Guide Magazine, and it's the issue that is March 17th, 2012. Ready to go?
Ready.
Here we go.
Holly, I can't wait till we get to my house,
Kayla said as we slid into a seat on the school bus.
I hope you pack some old clothes because it is a great day to play in the creek.
Oh, I'm packed and ready for adventure, I grinned, patting my overnight bag. We can slosh all the way up to the bluff and back. We've been there so many times, I'm not even worried that your parents will find out.
Well, we are smarter than they think.
No kidding. We're definitely not stupid enough to fall off a cliff. I rolled my eyes. When we're finished hiking, we should see if your brothers want to play flashlight tag.
Yeah, and then we can stay up all night.
She excitedly rubbed her palms together. We spent the next half hour making plans. When the bus neared Kayla's house, we scrambled down the long aisle, swaying as the bus lurched to a stop. The doors swung open, and we bolted out like escapees. We ran up the driveway, burst through the front door, and sailed into Kayla's bedroom, heaping books and bags on her dresser. In no time, we had changed into hiking clothes, grabbed a snack, and headed for the great outdoors.
Be back before dark, girls,
Kayla's mom instructed through the slamming screen door.
Yes, ma'am,
we shouted back and raced down the hill toward the woods. When we reached the creek, we were breathless from laughing as much as from running. We waded in the shallow water for miles, voicing our frustrations with school, boys, siblings, and parents. We vented, splashed, and giggled until we arrived where the water barely flowed and the creek trickled off over a cliff. I took a deep breath of fresh air, threw my arms out like an airplane, and spun in a circle. This is the most beautiful place ever. I feel so free. No parents, no teachers, no rules. I sighed contentedly.
This place is great,
Kayla agreed. Exhilarated by the splendor around me, I sat down and scooted until my feet dangled over the cliff's edge. Kayla stood back, listening to me ramble. It's a good thing I'm staying at your house tonight. I won't have to tell my parents about being sent to the principal's office today. I'm so fed up with grown-ups. I flung the branch I'd been using for a walking stick over the edge for emphasis. We watched it bounce, then break on the rocks about 50 feet below. Kayla stared at the shattered stick.
Can you imagine what would happen if someone fell over?
They wouldn't live, I said, shaking my head. She glanced nervously at my swinging feet.
If you fell, it would be my fault. My parents told me never to come here.
But we've been here millions of times and never gotten hurt. Of course, if we're going to make it before dark, we better head back. I stood slowly and began to turn around, but as I did, something went wrong. My feet started sliding. I felt my body slipping backward. Kayla! Kayla, catch me! But it was too late. My heart pounded as fast as I plummeted. Then everything went black. As the darkness cleared, I could feel Kayla holding my hand and speaking my name. My eyes struggled to open. Kayla, what happened? My mouth was bleeding and my words were as muddled as my mind.
Holly, you fell off the cliff.
She sucked in a breath and wiped her eyes.
Thank God you're still alive. Broken, but alive. I climbed down to you as fast as I could.
My stomach churned as she spoke. The memory of falling rushed back, and it came, and with it came the frightening realization that I still might die. Kayla, we have to pray. I squeezed her hand. Dear God, I'm so sorry I was disobedient to you and didn't listen to Kayla's parents. Please forgive me. Save me. Amen. My body hurt and my mind was fuzzy, but my fear of dying was gone.
Holly, I have to leave you now. I have to go get help.
Her voice sounded far away, then the darkness returned. When I awoke again, Kayla and her dad were there. The rescue squad came shortly afterwards. Kayla sang,
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
And it comforted me while the workers stabilized my body and put me on a stretcher. I hummed along as best I could. It took 6 hours and more than 10 men to get me from the bottom of the ravine to the top, where a medical helicopter waited to fly me out. After 3 weeks in a hospital bed, 2 months in a wheelchair, and 4 months on crutches, I was back on my feet. God allowed me to make a full recovery. I don't even limp. He saved my body and my soul from the destruction my rebellion had caused. It was a hard lesson, but this is the truth I learned. God's rules for obedience are made not to burden us, but to protect us.
Amen.
Wasn't that a great story?
That was.
Welcome, welcome. I am here with Ron Leonard, and this is going to be a topic that my listeners will love because it has to do with animal-assisted therapy. And I know I love animals, and Canines for Christ, or if you would like to go to the website, it would be the letter K, the number 9, for Christ.org. And many of our listeners do look at the website as they're listening to our show. This is a national Christian outreach ministry serving communities throughout the U.S. and particularly the veterans. So please go to that website. Ron, how did you get started in something like this?
Well, it's really interesting. My wife and I were ministering to our military, and we were talking about the post-traumatic stress syndrome and how the church can biblically respond to it. And we were just continuing to work in that and just doing the call, what God had called us to do. And our dog, Gabby, we had to put to sleep because it just got too old.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got Molly, and Molly was just 6 weeks old when we got her, and we took her through Petco's obedience training. And then after that, I started just training her to go to assisted living areas to where she could be a comfort to people. We call it the ministry of presence.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing led to another, and now 2 years down the road, Molly is ministering to our vets, is ministering to our wounded warriors, is ministering to those struggling with PTSD, and also going to the veterans' hospitals and ministering to people there. We call her Jesus in furs, and that's what Molly is doing.
That's fantastic. So are you helping other people or encouraging other people to maybe have their pets become part of this?
Sure. I have a Facebook page that we have with Molly that we go on there, and we encourage others to pray about, would God want to use your dog for His glory? And we've had several. Canines for Christ started in 2008 with a guy named Chaplain Larry Randolph out of Tampa, Florida. Larry prayed about it. He actually had to borrow a dog to start the ministry. And then he got his own dog with him and his wife and one volunteer. And now there are over 500 volunteers across the country and 2 countries internationally that are actually doing our ministry now and going around sharing Christ. And what we do is we get a business card for our dog. And on the back of the business card is John 3:16 and the plan of salvation. So we have the opportunity to share Christ as we're doing things like that.
Yes, I'm holding a card in my hand, and on the back, indeed, is John 3:16. And then the sinner's prayer.
Yes, sinner's prayer, yeah. Somebody. And so if you don't get a chance to talk to them, you get a chance to leave it and allow the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit to do His sweet office
for
them.
Right.
So
some of the steps for becoming, maybe share that, the steps for becoming.
The step is basically, is there a call of God on your life? Because this is not a vocation, this is a call. And mm-hmm. if God is calling you to do that, we encourage people to visit the website and then to contact Larry Randolph, and then Larry, I am the National Volunteer Coordinator, so Larry will contact me, and then I will take them through the steps of becoming a Canines for Christ volunteer. There is a certain process. We have to make sure the dog is not rabid, that the dog mm-hmm. is health-wise is okay, and that the dog has knows basic commands, is not vicious around people. And we also have their vet sign off, their local vet, as a local doctor would, sign off on the dog that the dog is okay and would be good for this kind of ministry. And so that's what we do. It takes about 2 to 3 months to take them through the process. And then they can go on the website, and what they do is they usually pay a membership fee of $60, and that includes the vest, all the business cards they need, and all the brochures they need to do it. So it's very reasonable for them to be involved, and it allows them to be committed to what they can be involved in.
So share with me some of the benefits that you've experienced.
Sure, sure.
Maybe personally and the people who you minister to.
Well, it's so neat. While we visit a lot of disability folks, we do a thing each year called Camp Progress, which is run by the YMCA, but they allow us to do it faith-based with Canines for Christ. And these are people that have been severely disabled, but probably have a mentality of 2 to 3, 4-year-old. And we go and we minister and they lighten up. Sometimes they won't say a word, and then all of a sudden they see Molly and they start lightening up.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my pastor once, I said, "Pastor, if we could keep Christianity as simple as these kids,
Amen.
We would be in good shape." And so we take Molly out and she just lightens up the crowd. It was so good that Fox 17 in Nashville did a story on her. And it was great. It was great. Did an absolute story on her. So that's what we do. And then we take her to MEPS, where people enter the military service. And Molly watches them raise their right hand and enter military. And we get a chance to minister there, and I get a chance to do that. So we're busy about 3 to 4 days out of the week, and we stay out about 3 to 4 hours. So we stay busy out there for the Lord.
I think of animals and how God has used them through the Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no problem saying that, you know, Molly is going to be in that new kingdom, in that heaven with
Amen.
Us.
Amen. Well, you know, the thing about it, I tell people, Proverbs says that how you treat your beast in the King James,
uh-huh.
or if you go to the international version, it's how you treat your animal. And so we tell people that having an animal is just like having a child. It is a biblical responsibility, and God will hold you accountable for that. And I've told them, we go to schools sometimes, Christian schools and Sunday school classes, and we speak about responsible pet ownership from mm-hmm. a biblical worldview.
Mm-hmm.
And we teach little kids of how to take responsibility for God's creatures. And it's really a great thing. We've even built up a whole seminar over it now. So it's just really great how we deal with that.
Yes, and I look at the scripture that says in Romans 8 that all creation
yeah.
waits
Amen.
For the second coming.
Amen.
All creation,
Amen.
Not just the human beings.
Amen. Amen.
So these animals, you know, even though there's that, would you say there's, when you're petting an animal, we know it brings down blood pressure?
It brings down blood pressure. Molly and I do occasionally, not a lot, but we'll do occasionally when we're called upon a domestic abuse or a child abuse case. And the DA will have us come in, district attorney, have us come in to calm the child down by petting the dog so the child will open up to what really went on. And it's a chance to change
yeah.
the world. Even in the secular environment, people are going to see Christ in that.
I mean, God has created us
Amen.
To relate to animals and to have pets. And so how can we not think that they are being
Amen.
Used by God
Amen.
To show His love
mm-hmm.
just as much as,
Amen.
You know, the interactions that we have with each other?
Yeah. I always tell people that Molly is the real hero of the story, not me. So I said, when I take her out, she steals the show. So she does a good job. She really does. And God's opened up more doors than I could ever imagine because of Molly.
So you served in the military initially.
Yes. I was in the military for 20 years, 10 years Navy, 10 years National Guard. I served in all of the conflicts out there, the Desert Storms, and also the Iraqi Freedoms. I got out in 2004, and that's when God called us to start ministering to the military directly. But I had the opportunity to travel to 12 countries, and that gave me the opportunity to have a world vision of what God was doing out there. And so that's what I did.
Now, you call that an opportunity. I know we have to take a break right here, but when we come back, I want to talk about how
Sure.
the looking at it changes the perspective. We'll
Amen.
Be right back.
Homeschool Companion is a show for homeschoolers and their homeschool teachers, and each show begins with a short story for the young at heart.
Hello.
Hey, it's me.
Rick, guess what came in the mail today?
An elephant?
No, better than that. It's this magazine I've been waiting for. I'll show you tomorrow. You've got to come over and see this.
Oh, all right. But I've got to clean my room first.
Why? It's the first day of summer vacation.
I know. But Mom told me she can't remember the color of my carpet because of all my stuff. She says I'm a prisoner until I get my room as clean as my sister.
We offer a variety of guests featuring many topics like what to do if your child hates math or how long should you keep your child at home to special needs children or encouraging the young author to keep writing or even publish a book.
For my first book, there's a huge pimple on my nose. I did what's called self-publishing, which meant that I had all the control of it myself.
Not everyone who listens to our show, Schools at Home, we also cover issues that arise in small private school settings or other issues found in large public schools.
We have a small student body, about 120 students, so we have a very family-focused, family-type atmosphere on our campus.
Kids say funny things at times, and they also ask us questions, sometimes too many questions. What do you do when your child stresses you out?
And of course, we've all been there with our kids when they start asking us questions beyond what we can handle sometimes.
What homeschool issues would you like to hear us address? We all have unique situations we deal with at home with our kids.
You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland 21783 or call us at 301-824-3162. Welcome back. I'm talking with Ron Leonard from Canines for Christ Animal Assisted Therapy. And we were just talking about, you know, how God uses animals and, you know, not just human beings and showing his love for all of us. And we were just getting into the conversation about your own experiences in the military. And you use these words, I was privileged to serve. I was honored to serve. How does one get to that mindset? War is a horrible thing.
It is. It is. And that's why we have to deal head on with the post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Yes.
And
that could be a whole show in itself. What is post?
Yeah. And traumatic brain injury and everything.
Yeah.
And my wife and I deal with that directly with people. But I think that you have to get the mindset that says when you have the mind of Christ, then you're able to filter through things through the power of the Holy Spirit. You're able to filter through things that would otherwise throw you for a loop. And so that's what we try to do. When I was in war, and I was not really up close with it, I was always in the background, but I knew people that were Christians, and they said, Ron, if I didn't have Jesus, I don't know what I would do.
So were you a chaplain?
No, ma'am. I was actually a cook in the military.
Oh,
I was
fantastic.
A cook for 20 years, but I worked with the chaplains
yes.
a lot in ministry, and then God led me into full-time ministry when I retired in 2004. But I think the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And so I think that once we get the mind of that, and then Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you to let your mind
yes.
be renewed in
yes.
so many words. And so once we renew our mind, God gives us the strength to work through these things.
And so how does giving people actual food connect with giving them spiritual food? Did you ever find any way to connect?
Yeah, we did, and we did it a lot through resources. We got them the book Psalms 91, God's Shield of Protection by Peggy Joyce Ruth, and then another one called Love Our Vets by Welby O'Brien. And these are two books that come from a biblical perspective of how to deal with PTSD. And so we give them information like that. We give them people they can contact in their area. We give them pastors that may be specialized in this area that can talk about mm-hmm. it. And all the pastors that I've had without exception are open to us to say that. So we just do that with people, and then most of all, we pray for them. We pray
yeah.
that God will get them to the other side. I've often heard it said, one PTSD victim said, you know, I had to go 1 second, then I had to go 1 minute, then I had to go 1 hour, that I had to go 1 week, and then I finally went the rest of my life, and God freed me. So it's little bitty steps like that. So I'd say, yeah. So
man, I wish you could say that one more time. You had to go 1 second.
You had to go 1 second, had to go 1 minute, had to go 1 week, had to go 1 year, and then I went the rest of my life, and God freed me from PTSD. It's little steps at a time. Yes. It's kind of like the Christian life in the parable of the sowers. Jesus says in the last one, there's 30, there's 60, and there's 100-fold, the genuine believer. And so people have to take small steps before they can take big steps. And that's what happens.
And we don't realize that on this planet, you know, our children, our loved ones, at any time can have a very stressful event that triggers post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
And when you have, it's a type of fear.
It is. And it's real, too. It's real. It's real. Yeah, it's real. Yeah.
Yes, it's real. It's you are paralyzed with fear. Yeah. And, of course, Satan would all like us to stay in that paralyzed state.
Well, I've always told people that fear is simply false evidence appearing real. And that's what we have to realize, that it is an enemy of the Satan. God is not the author of fear. I'm not giving you the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of sound mind. So God is not the author of fear. So we have to give it to where it belongs to and send it back to where it belongs to, and that's Satan. But that takes steps. You just don't do that overnight. A lot of people can, others can't. And so we let these guys take small steps. We have support groups around the country that they meet with sometime to help them work through this and everything. So it's kind of neat. It's neat. Yeah.
So, just with the you know, love and sharing your your animal, your pet, and then the organization is beginning to expand as other people catch the vision. Where do you see this going in the future?
Well, we just actually, I was in Tampa, Florida a couple of weeks ago. We had our first inaugural board meeting. I'm part of the board, and I'm the only one that they had to fly in. I was the one outside of Tampa that was part of the board. So we went in and we sit for 2 hours seeking God and talking about this ministry. We are hoping to have 1,000 volunteers by the end of 2015. We're hoping to expand to all 50 states if possible and other foreign countries. And it gives people the opportunity just to see their animal being used for God's glory. And so that's where we're hoping to expand it. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. And yes. I hope that our listeners catch the vision too.
Sure.
Because, you know, we spend a lot of money on our pets. We invest in our pets.
We invest more on our vets than we do on our children. We sure do. That's a statistic thing out there. And if people want to contact me personally so that I can get them started right away, they can email me at inchristalone2004@yahoo.com. That's inchristalone2004@yahoo.com. I hope it's okay to say that.
Yes.
So they can get a hold of me directly, because it will work through, because Larry does get busy sometimes, so it can work through a quicker process if they would contact me.
Yes,
so that'd be
in
fine.
Christ alone, all spelled out. Okay,
at yahoo.com. I'm using that one now. Yeah, and
yes, yahoo.com.
Yeah, so it's fine.
Well, I appreciate so much.
Oh, it's been
this
a joy.
Time that
it's
you spent with us, and I hope Molly has many more years of use.
Isn't it great to be here at the NRB and everything? It's great,
isn't it?
So it's just
and
it's wonderful.
And it's always great that when I can talk about animals on my
show. Well,
that
praise the Lord.
With everyone.
And Molly and I thank God for what you guys are doing to lead people to Jesus. We're just excited about it. So
praise God. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Amen. Thank you.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.